Hey. Are you alive?
The sound heard around the world. Coming to you from the Badger's Den in Mount Vernon, Ohio. This is Four Pillar Podcast with Matt, the Honey Badger, Goddard Meyer, and Ian, Vanilla Gorilla, Lashley.
And welcome back to the Four Pillar Podcast, baby. We stand for faith, family, fitness, and finance. And today we are talking about time management. And one of my actual favorite things to talk about, maybe, because, well, my wife would say I'm insane, and I probably am, because I went through this giant phase in my life where I basically read and studied, like, watched videos, nothing on, like, everything on how to have, like, a time management system. Because I think, to me, at that time, it was realizing it was one of the more important things to do, because if you don't run your time, the time runs you, and that's not good, because then you're inefficient with your time, you're wasting time, you're not getting things done, it causes more stress, anxiety, friction in your life, you don't have much time with your family. Like, there's so many things that basically just by having time management skills, you can mitigate a lot of problems that come up that's very helpful. Now, you can go to the extreme opposite as well, too, and you can almost have a mental breakdown because you have so much information on time management and what to do and stuff. And I probably got a little obsessed with it for a time period. I had to reel that.
It doesn't seem like you at all.
I had to reel that bad boy back in a little bit.
So you have, like, I guess you call it a system, right? I don't know if you still use the paper-bound books anymore, but you probably use your phone now. But as long as I've known you, you've had this. It's written down.
Yeah.
Whether digitally or, you know,
right,
handwritten. How do you start that process?
Yeah. Well, I think as well, too, I, for a long time, like you said, I use the Best Self Journal. And I would actually highly recommend anybody that isn't familiar with time management, that's actually the best way, I think, to get started. If you're struggling with, you feel like you're not getting enough time, you know, enough stuff done, you're not getting your workouts in, you're not getting enough quality time with your family, like, pick something like that. And I just recommend the best Self Journal, because I really like how it lays out basically planning your day, your goals, and your objectives, right? So that's essentially how I got started, was with that, because it basically templates, right, or has a template.
That's a name brand. That's what the thing's called.
Yeah, that's the brand of it. It's called Best Self Journal or Best Self Company. You can Google it. It'll come up. And they basically give you a template of how to lay out and do stuff, because, like, right, it's creating a system, which now I have my own hybrid system that I created, and I moved to, like 80% digital. When I say 80% digital, I still journal every single day, write down objectives on a piece of paper, and work from a list. I think that's very, very important. And Brian Tracy, one of the guys that he wrote to Eat That Frog, which you probably heard me the reference, you got to eat the biggest, ugliest frog first thing in the
morning.
That
was a phase you went through, yeah.
Yes, I still believe that. It's just,
I just don't hear it as much.
I died down on the terminology of it. But Brian Tracy says always work from a list. And I mean, if you read Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and basically anything else, they basically use lists to manage their life, manage their time. And if you're not working from a list, you're being inefficient, because you're getting off of targets, essentially. But for me, so this Best Self Journal, what it basically does is you pick three big goals that you're going to do, which I still do this. I have my own system. But pick three big goals, and you essentially pick what are those goals, and they need to be SMART goals. So they need to be specific, they need to be measurable, attainable, reachable, and have a timeline or be timely.
Okay, so can you give us an example of one?
Like,
what one of today's?
Yeah. So one of my biggest goals right now that I'm working on is I want to have 787 members by December the 30th of 2024.
Okay, so these goals aren't for that day in particular. It's a long-term.
Yeah, so those are – so what that will actually do is, like, I've changed my system a little bit now, Well, what they specifically had you do was they focus on 13 weeks at a time. So it's a 13-week journal. So you're actually going to pick a goal you're going to essentially achieve in 13 weeks or quarterly is what it was. You break down quarterly goals. Because one thing you have to be careful about is if you pick something that's too big, you lose sight in the big picture and you don't actually focus on what's happening daily or weekly, which is very, very important. Because if you pick something, you need to have something that you're working towards, because if you don't have a 5-year plan, maybe not a plan, but if you say, like, where do you want to be in 5 years or 10 years, you should have an answer. And I think even more importantly, you should have it written down on a piece of paper. And that may change. It should change probably as your life develops. But that gives you an ultimate picture. And then now you kind of basically break that down into smaller targets or smaller goals. Because, right, it's more real of what you're going to do today, tomorrow, this week, and this month, and even this year, essentially, is more relevant. But basically, the reason I'm starting with goals are because if you don't have a goal or if you don't have something you're working towards, then essentially your time is being managed for everything else, if that makes sense. So, and I'm sharing what I do. For an example, there's a bunch of ways to do this, but you basically pick three main goals that you're going to accomplish. You make them SMART goals. So like what I just said, I have a time, a very specific time, number, and everything I want to achieve. And then you break it down to what I call three indicators to achieve that goal. So what I mean by that is, what are three things that you need to achieve to accomplish that main goal? And for example, mine may be, I need to generate, well, I actually have it all memorized. I have exactly all memorized what I need to do. I need to generate exactly 84 leads a month to basically have my conversion rate to sign up that amount of members over the course of a year. Well, I know there's take or give, but the one thing I figure into it was churn, which churn is how many members I'm going to lose on a monthly basis, because that's part of business. I kind of left that part out, but I mean, generally, if you sign up that, get, you know, that's, you're going to hit your goal at the end of the year, essentially. So I need 84 leads. I need to sign up roughly 46. We have a 46 conversion rate from leads to memberships. 46%. Yeah. What, roughly half, you know, as you want to round it up to half. So, you know, by that, I can basically map out like how many, you know, whatever. But so an indicator is, are you getting 84 leads a month? And then what I do after an indicator is I do milestones. Okay. So I have goal, indicators, milestones, and I just do three for each of them. So there's three goals for one goal. There's three indicators for each indicator. There's three milestones. And that's essentially, if you see where I'm going with it as far as how you work, you work your way backwards to say,
you're going to have to tell us what a milestone is.
Yes. Yeah, so a milestone is something that you're doing, an action or an action step, or a milestone could be also worded as an action step that you're doing to reach that indicator.
Right.
Because once you achieve each three of the indicators, you achieve your main goal, essentially. And what this does is you're getting yourself an action plan. Because if you just write down, which is a start, right? If you just write down, I want to have 787 members by this date, and then you never figure out how you're going to get there, that's right. Essentially pretty pointless, right. As having well at the end of the day.
Having a dream without a plan. No, having a goal without a plan is just a dream.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. But the reason I say that's so important is because you do that, and you do that for, you know, they say three goals. I've actually changed mine a little bit where I have four now, and I focus on a faith, family, fitness, and finance goal, essentially, to work on. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant, but that's what I do. And I'll do four, and I break it up over the course of my family, you know, my faith, family, fitness, and finance. Then I'll have three of them set for the, I get like super detailed. I'm trying to keep it simple for what I'm trying to explain. But once you have those set, now you know, like, your action steps for the goal you need to do to hit that goal, right? So when you're doing your schedule, you know you need to schedule time to do whatever those action step items are. And that's why I say, when if you don't run your schedule runs you. And if you don't have a plan, you're essentially going to go about your day getting pulled in every single direction with things coming up, things going on. And I'm not saying you shouldn't address certain things, but what that does is it gives you very close focus on what you're doing. And I believe as well, too, a book. It's called, what's that called? It's the book about Shackleton's journey. Have they told you about this, the boat journey?
Carrying the boats?
Well,
I hear that all the time.
Well, carrying the boats. Sorry, I'm pulling up my library.
Maybe you did.
It's about the guys that were trying to be, I believe it's to the South Pole, be the first people.
Something went wrong, and somebody had to lead.
Right. So they ended up, their boat crashed. They actually hit an iceberg, and this is back in the 1800s. Hang on a second. I'm trying to find Shackleton's. It's going to drive me crazy if I don't find the name of the book, Matt.
I think you did tell me about it once.
Yeah.
And how they survived and...
Yeah, I'm just going to Google it. I have too many books in my Audible thing. Shackleton. Oh, okay, I didn't even get the name of the book right. The book's Endurance. And it's Shackleton's journey through to the Antarctic. So they're trying to be the first people to... Is Antarctica, is that the North Pole or South Pole? I always get those confused. I want to say South Pole. Come on, Betsy. I think it's... I apologize if we're geographically wrong here. But regardless, I'm going to move on. So I believe it's the South Pole. I could be wrong. But so basically, they were trying to get the first people to travel to South Pole, like on this voyage. And this was in 1912. So back, like basically in 1912, you couldn't just like radio Mayday, right? Your ship's going down or whatever the terminology for it is. So, 1914, Georgia Islands, 1914. Yeah, sorry, 1914. But anyway, it was a British led expedition. And basically they got shipwrecked and they had to make their way back to safety on their own. And then, so they had safety boats, and basically what happened is like their ship's going down, you know, and they essentially had to drag like all this material with sled dog teams and stuff. And they got so far, you know, cause once you start going, more north and or south, whatever the freaking, you know, they were at or whatever. Yeah, south. It was South Pole. Yeah, that's why I thought it was South Pole. So when you start going north, right, it starts warming up, and then the seasons change. So the icebergs start melting. The ice starts melting. So they're actually on land right now, basically on icebergs, trying to move north as far as they can. And then to get so far, they actually have to get into the ocean. And back in 1912 and 1914, their safety boats were basically like wooden. I mean, like little wooden ships or wooden boats or whatever. And so they basically had to drop into the ocean, and they had to navigate in, you know, essentially these little wooden boats, like life boats or whatever. And they I mean, it's insane. I can't remember
by paddle.
Yeah. Sail and paddle. Okay. Yeah. They were sailboats. So they're sailboats, and they basically had to go, it was an insane distance. I want to say it was like, like 500 miles or something. They had to sail. It was something insane. Sorry, I'm trying to be correct on my, it was, this, I'm trying to look at a notes here. Yeah, it was like, I believe this says 800 miles is what it says. Yeah, I believe that's correct. 800 miles, which is, that's really far.
Especially in water.
In a lifeboat.
Yeah.
In a safety lifeboat, wooden safety lifeboat. And so they did this without taking a single casualty either. And like basically what people are saying today is this is almost impossible, like what they did. Because what they did is they set their target. They set a specific target for Elephant Island. I believe the island's called Elephant Island. And so once they got so far, like, okay, we have to sail this. And basically the Elephant Island was like equivalent to, I want to say, like 2 square miles, right, in the ocean. Now, when you talk about this, the Atlantic Ocean, correct? The Atlantic Ocean and something that's a 2 square mile target, that's literally like you getting blindfolded and having you stand like down on Parrot Street and telling you that you need to like throw a dart and hit the gym's sign, right? Yeah. Because remember, it's 1914. They don't have GPS. They how they literally navigated was using the stars and a it's a book. The I can't remember the name of the book they used, but it's like the
Atlas.
Thank you. Yeah, they used an atlas and stars to basically in a compass, and that's how they navigated 800 miles to hit a 2 square mile island in lifeboats.
They didn't have MapQuest.
No, but the reason I shared that story is though. Is they had a target, right? Because if you don't have a target in a specific direction you're going with a compass or with your atlas or with whatever, you are basically sailing into the abyss hoping you hit this little object or right. target of you're trying to hit. So with that being said, if you set your goals, you now have your targets that you can plan your week as you go through your week. And those are the things you should be planning on how to do and how to focus your time. And there's stuff that's going to come up, but for me, I have non-negotiables or things that when I plan my week, sometimes I'm not trying to be mean, but yeah, I completely ignore people because it's not on my schedule or I add it to my list. Right. And that brings me to the thing of always working from a list. So I use something called the Eisenhower matrix after President Eisenhower. And what he basically did was he came up with 4 quadrants with a master list. So you always have a master list. Then you have do, delegate, delete, and decide. Or sorry, I think I read it backwards, but do, decide, delegate. Yeah. Do, decide, delegate, delete. And so once a week, I sit down and anything somebody tells me goes on my master list. So if you tell me, hey, I need to this XYZ done, or this comes up, or someone asks me to do something, or to make a workout program, it goes on my master list. I don't stop and do it, right? Because that's where people get crippled, right? Because they have their plan, the stuff they're working on, and all of these people want you to do something or ask you to, hey, can you help me with this or create this or make this? And they stop what they're doing. They disrupt their workflow. They disrupt with their concentration, and they shift and do this other objective that they had no intentions on doing, and their main work is being neglected.
And it took you off course.
Correct. It took you off course. So what happens is, I'm not saying you don't do that, right? It goes on that giant master list. So at the end of the week, or depending on, you know, if you need to do it twice a week, you can sit down and look at this list and you basically go, do I need to do this? Can I have somebody else do it? Or is it something that I can decide to do, which is essentially like a project? And how he breaks it up is, do is essentially, is it urgent and is it important? And what I mean by urgent and important is it's something that only you can do that's urgent and important. And if it is, it goes on the do list. The do list is not a to-do list, right? Because then everything just goes on that. That's not what it is. It's a urgent and important and only I can do this. Decide is it urgent and not important? Or sorry, is it not urgent but important? And if it's not urgent and important, which is 99% of the stuff you need to be doing, it is very important, but maybe not urgent. You put it on the decide list. And the decide list is you pick a specific time block that you're going to work on it. Is it, regardless, is it urgent or is it important or is it something that I don't need to be doing? Or can someone else do? So it could be urgent and it could be important, or it could be urgent and important. But then you ask yourself, is it something that someone else can do? And if it is, it goes on the delegate. And if it's something that is obviously no one needs to do, is not urgent and not important, you delete it, get rid of it. And that's how I basically manage my week, of how I manage my tasks and my schedule. And I very rarely will do something someone else asked me to do that week because I already have my week planned. It just goes on my list and I touch on it the next time I review my
list. Unless someone brings up something that's urgent and important.
Well, yeah, unless right. It's very urgent and very important and only I can handle it, then I will usually sometimes address that sooner.
So you've established your goals, how the goals are going to be accomplished, the list, the quadrants. And when you look at your week, how do you break up? This is set aside for work. This is personal. This is family. This is maybe... I mean, it would fall under faith, but something for the church or something like, yeah. How do you divide all that up and say, I hate looking at it this way, but 20% of my time is going to go here.
That's a very good question. That's something I struggled with for a long time. I think the easiest thing to do that is you sit down and like I can answer this question very easily now because I've wrote it so many times in my journal. It's kind of what we talked about writing down like your moral compass or things that are important to you. So essentially, you know that you need to spend like there's things in your life that are non-negotiables. And like obviously with our four pillars, faith, family, fitness, and finance, I have to do things in each one of those pillars to balance my life, or you have to strengthen those pillars to maintain a good life. So I essentially know that every single week I need to take my wife on a date. My wife and I go on a date every single week. And when I say a date, it doesn't have to be like we go out to somewhere to eat. It could be like we put Eden down to bed and maybe we go do something, have a house date or do whatever, right? It doesn't have to be like what everybody thinks like a date is. But regardless, every single week, my wife and I do something, do a date. Every single week, we do something as a family. So all three of us will go to Thursday. We went and we had breakfast real quick as a family. And then, got to hang out and stuff or whatever. So we always do something as a family. And then every single week, I have to do something specifically with Eden by myself or take a daddy-daughter date. And obviously, there's more things that go into that as far as I try to spend more time with her. But those are like minimum requirements to focus my attention towards my family. And something that I do as well, too, I kind of structure out my day as well, where I try to I've mixed it up where I've done like a lot of work first thing in the morning and try to spend, then have free time to do stuff with my family. Here lately, I've been doing, I work out first thing in the morning, roughly, and then I, do my Bible devotion, I journal, I spend about 45 minutes to an hour with Eden, I do my ice bath, all that stuff, and then I come to the gym and start working. So I essentially take care of almost all four of those pillars, first thing in the morning. And outside of that as well, too, like I know with finances, I have a day and this is where I think you're probably think people think I'm crazy. I literally have a personal checklist and a business checklist. And so my personal checklist is finance review, spend time with my wife, spend time with my daughter, do something as a fan. Like I have a checklist that I go through that I remind myself every week when I'm doing my schedule, I need to make time to do these things. And then I schedule that in my calendar.
So then I'm assuming you do this like Sunday night.
Yeah, I do it every Sunday.
And then how set in concrete is all these, like if you're working and something comes up, but you're getting to the point where it's time to do something with Eden. Is it, guys, this is waiting for tomorrow. I'm getting out the door. Or is it, Kylie, tell Eden, I got something that just came up. Like, how do you balance all
that? Yeah, it's, well, just like that. It's a balancing act. And for the most part, I try to keep it in concrete because it, like you said, if you have it on your schedule, you got to do it. And, you've probably seen sometimes at the gym or whatever where it's maybe a little bit nicer out and I have it booked where I'm taking Eden to the park from 3:30 to 4:30 PM or something like that. Cause there's a park close to the gym. I pretty abruptly will grab my daughter and leave.
Right. That's the average day, right? I think what a lot of people struggle with when it comes to this is it's one thing to say, this is what I'm going to accomplish tomorrow. This is what I want to do. And maybe here's even the times that they're going to happen.
Right.
Not every day goes exactly as planned.
Correct.
So, yes. And I feel like talking about going off course, that's when people, not knowing how to, I guess you'd say, just handle those situations when.
Right. And so stuff like this happens, right, too. You wake up, you start your day, go through the thing, maybe you get to work, your wife calls you like super sick, right? Or
the kid calls you from school and she needs to be picked up or he needs
right.
to be picked
up. Right. So there's stuff like that happens, right?
Flat tires and all
that. Yeah. And what it is you have to do the best. And you obviously that's would be a very urgent and very important thing that you take care of immediately. I mean, there's some things that obviously that come up and with that, with your schedule, you just have to do the best you can to get right back on it the next day and handle it. I mean, that's part of life. I think that's something I struggle with as well, too. When you start thinking of like, if I had something that threw me out of my, out of my loop or whatever, I'd have trouble, I have trouble refocusing or like mess up my whole entire day. And you can't look at it like that. You just have to address it, deal with it, whatever. And then wherever you end up, you just pick back up in your schedule or accomplish what you can for the rest of the day. And then tomorrow's a new day and you start over again.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But it is difficult because those thunderbolts or lightning strikes in your life can really throw you off for the day if something bad happens. Well, not bad, but off your schedule.
Yeah, I don't go as far as, you know, saying at this time this and at that time. But I do have a list, and it's like, you know, I don't consider my day done until that list is complete. Done. When that's done, fine, go home, turn the TV on, whatever.
Right.
You know, and not like we were just talking about. Maybe something happened and one of those things on the list is just not happening today. It's right. not possible. But I try to stick to, you know, to get away from all the BS, I guess.
Yeah.
Reasons in my head why I can't do that. It's like, no, you're going to get all these things done. That's why you had it on this day.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people do get easily sidetracked. They start talking to other people. They, you know, maybe it's on their phone. Like, that can take a lot away from, like, whatever it is you had to do for that day. Right?
Right.
People might come in and say, oh, my God, an hour to work out. I go in at lunch, but then I saw so-and-so, and we BS for a little while, and then I saw, and then it's like you left and maybe you only did two sets, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to stick to these things that you set out to do. Right?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing because, like, even with, even, you know, you're working at the gym and stuff, and, you know, obviously, I own the gym, and you're trying to work out, and you have clients or members that come up and want to maybe try to talk to you when you exercise, and it's a happy medium of, I've been this blunt sometimes, like, you know, I'll say, hey, or how, you know, maybe, like, they kind of keep going, like, trying to, yeah. Great conversation. I'm like, hey, I don't mean to be rude or whatever. I just have something coming up right. here, like an appointment or whatever. I just got to finish my workout. I don't mean to be rude.
See, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. We were out to dinner this week and Meg was saying, oh, I hope this person doesn't come over. They never stop talking. And it's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, I mean, you know, in a nice right. polite way, like I'm having dinner with my family or we got to go right now. Or
yeah.
I mean, it's the truth. I mean, and they're, be another time and place when you can sit and talk to someone for 20, 25 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I've seen that in the gym. There's a lot of people that, which I mean, I don't know if it's like a couple of people are like, you know, maybe kind of to the retired point or whatever, but like, which is cool. Like I love having those people here, but they like, you know, they'll come in here and be here for like 3 hours working out and they'll do about a set every 10, every 10 minutes. Cause they're just going out talking to people.
There's more of a social life aspect.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that or whatever. But like with me, I have, okay, this next, you know, 70 minutes is my workout time. I have to get it done in the 70 minutes. It can't go for 90 minutes, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I think that is tough. And I like to, so you said you worked from a list, right? And
yeah.
Then that is the, one of the most important, like if you had to break it down to the simplest thing, right? Like how I just went through the Eisenhower matrix, like I set these goals, scheduling time. I think if I had to summarize everything up, all the stuff I've learned and studied and read, is if you just work from a list, it'll fix probably 90% of your problems.
Yeah. And like you, I mean, I don't have any names for these systems or it's not as complex as yours, but it's like, it's done on Sunday. It's not done on a daily basis.
Right.
And this came up last week. I kind of even forget what we were talking about, but it's like, sometimes you do something today to make today a better day.
Right.
Sometimes it's for to make later in the week better. All these things need to be done for whatever reason.
Right.
So that your life, you know, talk about, you know, having anxiety in your life. I mean, that's one of the reasons that happens is because you're falling behind.
Right.
All these things that should be done that you said you were going to do don't get done. And that's when it starts piling up on you. Right. But if you just take the time, if you put the phone down for a little bit, if you stop with socializing for a little bit, like these things that you said you were going to do, you can do them.
Yeah. Right? And a lot of times, too, you probably experience this, like maybe even something that seems like a larger task. Like I think your brain kind of wants to mess with you because you're trying to, your brain, like you're in charge of your brain. Your brain's not in charge of you, but your brain like is trying to tell you. To like not do it or maybe do it tomorrow or
because it seems so overwhelming.
But when you actually, you know, buckle down and do some of these tasks, like and like something that you think that's just really challenging or whatever, you end up sometimes accomplishing that in 15 or 20 minutes.
Right. And even, you know, you're talking about the word you used after goals, incentive, not
incentive. Indicators and milestones. Right. Yeah.
So let's say I go into my office and you've got this list and it's okay, powerlifting meet's coming up and these are the six things that I want done before, you know, before the meet happens. Well, then it's just, I'm doing this one today.
Right.
This one Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Right.
I can take care of one of those every single day, no problem.
Right.
Right. But to go, you know what? This can wait till Thursday and the meet's on Saturday.
Right.
Again, there's all your anxiety.
Absolutely.
Right. And then spreading it out over the week, if I trying to take care of something on Monday and something comes up on Wednesday or two, I still have time.
Right.
To react and correct or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Yeah, because I think that's another thing. People, they get overwhelmed with it, so they put it off.
Or so that's the two biggest things that happen are what you just said. Or they're overwhelmed, so they procrastinate. Or the next thing is they do a bunch of small, not important things and never actually get the big thing done. So that's where
small important things that have nothing to do.
Well, I should say small.
Small of steps within a with it.
Well, I should say small, not important things. For an example, that's where I use the phrase, eat the biggest and ugliest frog first when you're working on stuff. Because what I mean by the biggest and ugliest frog is that's like the biggest, maybe hardest, difficult task or project or something you need to do.
The one you're probably
dreading doing.
Yes.
Dreading doing. Yeah. You don't want to do it. So what happens is that's kind of a way for you to like not do it, right? Is if you do a bunch of busy work or you do a bunch of small things that don't really mean anything. I mean, they could mean something, but not really.
Well,
right?
And the whole time that thing that you're dreading, it never leaves the back of your head.
Well,
you know, you still have to face that and do it at some point.
Right.
I mean, I think you've always said make that the first thing you do in the morning.
Correct. Or the first thing you do your work.
Work
day or whatever. Do the
get
hard.
Get that over with. And then the rest of the day should be.
Rest of the day is easy.
Yeah.
And regardless, if you don't get anything else done, so if you get the number one most important thing or hardest thing done that day, and let's say the rest of your day becomes a distraction or you have a bunch of things that come up or fire, dumpster fires, whatever you want to call it, then you're pretty accomplished if you accomplish the biggest and hardest, most important thing you need to do for that day. It's already done. It doesn't even matter what else you do the rest of the day. I mean, it does, but.
To people struggling with this kind of thing, I would say that almost starts your day with like, I mean, you're dreading it. You don't want to do it. You do it. Now you have a little bit of confidence.
Right.
Right. Now you're off on the right foot. You just accomplished this big thing. And now, you know, the rest of the day should be. You know,
should be.
And I think we talked about this before, like you have a day like that and then build on it the next day.
Right.
And then build on it the next day. And then these things start becoming easier. And then the system that you've developed just becomes almost natural.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Everything in your life is shooting exactly the way it should be, you know, going off.
So. I mean, it's, you know, we're humans and nothing's ever perfect. But
right.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've kind of refined like my system works for me and it keeps me. It keeps me going the right direction, the right target, I think, what to focus on a daily basis.
Yeah. And I think you're, you know, part of doing consultations, it's like people come in and they're like, they usually know what they want.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, what's the plan? And that's why they came to us. But you have to follow that up with the actions that are going to get you, right? Because we don't get to wish for anything. I wish to lose 50 pounds. Well, what's the action you're going to take to?
Well, I think some people too don't even they know what they want, but they don't really know what they want either. If that makes sense. A new exercise that I got from a business coach I just went to that I really like. It's called the A to B strategy, and basically what it does is everything I just said, right? That you do, but he puts it up almost like on a piece of paper, and you basically write the letter A, circle it, draw a line, letter B. And letter A is everything that bothers you or where you're at right now. And then letter B is where the direct line that you want to go is. And then in the middle is the action steps or indicated milestones that you take to go from A to B. And if you can't define clearly define what B is and which B1 you want to focus on, then you don't know where you're going. And I think a lot of people, as they'll say, they want to lose weight, right? Or they want to, I mean, even like saying I want to bench press 300 pounds. I mean, that's a fairly more specific goal, but it may not even be clearly defined of why and what you want.
Yeah. I mean, even stepping outside of the gym, I mean, just feeling like you have a purpose in life. I mean, there's a starting point.
Right.
Right. And then it's like, okay, this is my purpose. What do I need to do to fulfill that?
Right.
And then there you go. You know, but I feel like a lot of people go through life and I don't know, they call it like they're aimless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, days turn into weeks and months, years, and now it's, you really, I mean, not to say that accomplishment is the only thing that matters, but you really haven't gone anywhere or done anything, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I think just what you said, giving yourself aim is like you got to try to hit something, because then like essentially life basically throws you around to do whatever it wants per se. And, you know, that may be not very rewarding or accomplishing, or maybe even, you know, for example, if you're a Christian, maybe not very.
Well, again, I think that's where depression and anxiety can come in. That's, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of reasons it can come in, but that's just kind of not having a reason for why you get up in the morning.
Right.
You know, that's bigger than just, you know, going to work or all that.
And the last thing, we can wrap this up here. The last thing I want to share, though, is I looked up a couple. I think I talked to you about this, Matt, using a time management system. That like the statistic on people that use or don't use time management. So the one thing I found here is only 18% of people report having a dedicated time management system.
Oh yeah.
That leaves a staggering 82% that do not use any form of time management. And that is, to me, blows my mind. 'Cause I mean, it doesn't have to be as complex as what mine is. I just got really obsessed with it and I found something that works for me. I mean, I essentially did, you know, what you did, and that is very good. I mean, that's a form of time management. Like you probably put stuff on your calendar that comes up, plus you have a list. Like that's essentially a time management strategy. It doesn't have to be anything super insane, but I think that you can eliminate a lot of problems, anxiety, depression, and just hopelessness with managing basic fundamentals of what you're doing on a daily basis.
Yeah. And I think, you know, last week I said those 82% of people who don't have any kind of plan like that, they just end up doing, you know, what they feel like. And in most cases, what you feel like is just going to be relaxing. You know what I mean? Like taking it easy, whatever, like you, we don't get through life, a productive life, you know, by taking it easy and relaxing.
Yeah. This on the same study here thing I have up here. This came from this last one here is from Zoom Shift. It's a study that is an article, research paper from, regardless, I can give the cited source. If somebody really wants, they can message me for the cited sources on it. But it says, productivity at work. So the average employees only actually spend 2 hours and 53 minutes on actually working during a work day.
How much?
2 hours and 53 minutes.
Really?
The rest is essentially not knowing what to do.
I saw something yesterday that I thought you'd like. They interviewed a bunch of employees and they asked, if you could have anything, what would you want? And they were expecting, like, you know, raise, more vacation time, more time with my family, and the answer that they got back the most was the resources to actually do this job well.
Yeah.
Or the education or whatever it was. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to the Four Pillar Podcast. And I guess if you listen to this whole entire thing, if you take away one thing, I would say I'm sure Matt would, you probably say this well too, I would highly recommend adopting some sort of any kind of a basic time management strategy. If anything, like I said, I like what you do, Matt. The most powerful thing that if you can like do anything, always work from a list. If you have a list, but right, I mean, it's the basic to-do list. If you have a list, that's a target. You know where you're going for the day and what you need to do, and that eliminates, I mean, literally 90-95% of your problems. So that would be my recommendation. Would you second that or have any thoughts on that?
No, I would just say having the list and then sticking to the list.
Well, right. You can have
like
a list.
Like you said, but having a goal without all the action steps is.
Yeah. Well, and then, right, if you have a list and you don't actually do anything on the list, then that's basically irrelevant. Right. Or like the whole thing is pointless. If you believe it, you can achieve it. And thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the button, all that good stuff. And we'll see you in the gym soon.